We are on part number 14, and we are in chapter number 4. And so you all remember where we left off. We left off Ephesians chapter 4, and we were talking about we had to take some things off, and we got to put some things on, and the lights are too bright. Hallelujah. Turn them down just a bit. Hallelujah. And so we got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And so we got to put on the new man and we got to take off the old. And then I'm going to just pick it up at verse 24. You can turn up a little more than that. That's good. Hallelujah. What did I say? 24, put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. How many know lying is one of the big 10? You know, people say, well, we don't have to do that anymore. Well, the Bible, Jesus didn't say do away with them. He said, if you'll walk in love, if you love the Lord your God and you'll love your neighbors yourself, then you'll fulfill all the 10. And so he was against lying from the beginning because the devil is the father of lies. And so lying is never okay. Amen. Amen. We discussed that last time, right? Remember? So we're not called to lie. We're not going to tell a lie. Don't let anyone make you tell a lie. Does this look good on me? Well, if you like it, you like it. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to lie. If you don't want to know, don't ask me. Because I won't lie to you. We say at our house, that's not my favorite. Hallelujah. And then that's the clue. It's not the best you ever looked. Hallelujah. Or whatever. I don't know. But don't tell people to lie. You know, I remember in the old days, and I'm not saying my mom or dad did this. I'm just saying, you know, you all don't know this, but, you know, we used to have landlines, you know, actual hook to the wall. Somebody would call, and you'd say, hey, it's so-and-so. And they'll say, tell them I'm not here. They say they're not here. Anyway, so no lying. Everybody say no lying. No lying. They teach people in school to lie today. They say it's okay. It's not okay. It's never okay. It's not okay with God, therefore it's not okay. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Shouldn't lie on your taxes. Amen. We're believers. Amen. We're believers. Find every legal loophole they got, but don't lie. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be angry. So you can be angry, but sin not. Amen? Amen. So there is a righteous anger. We talked about that, but it will never lead you to sin. And if you're righteously angry, it's something about the Word of God. It's not something about out here. It's not something in the natural. Righteous anger has to do with the kingdom of God and people mistreating the kingdom. It has nothing to do with other stuff. And I could get very specific, but I won't. There's a lot of angry people in the church today, and God's not cool with it. I have a right to be angry. No, you have a right to have joy and victory. And if it's righteous indignation, then the Lord will lead you to do something to correct it. It has to do with the kingdom of God. But the anger of men does not produce the righteousness of God. Be careful what people get you angry about. Get you stirred up about. Amen. Anger is no good. Anger is no good. Be angry, sin not. Let the sun not go down, because anger then produces wrath. We're just reviewing. And wrath is not something you want to be involved in. Amen. Amen. It says then, give no place to the devil. So anger, unforgiveness, bitterness gives a place to the devil. And then we talked about footholds that lead to strongholds. What is a foothold? It's like when someone scales up a rock. I've watched them do it on TV. I've never attempted to do it. I'm not going to do it. I was counseling with someone and they want me to go rock climbing with them. Not going to do it. Not going to happen. Hallelujah. Unless I got all the gear on. But have you ever seen a movie or something where people are scaling up a rock? And all they're looking for is a toehold and a handhold, and they climb up that thing. If that's how you get your kicks, go ahead. But I'm not looking for that. But listen to me, the devil, all he needs is a toehold. And he'll turn that toehold into a stronghold. Remember Jesus said that the prince of the world, the devil, he's coming, but he has nothing in me. So our goal is to have nothing in us, that the devil can put a toe in us. And so we're not going to have any unforgiveness. Amen. No bitterness. Yeah, but they. Well, you know, they did a lot of stuff. I've had a lot of theys do a lot of they things to me. But if you let it get you and you get a root of bitterness, how can you tell if you get a root of bitterness? Uh-oh, we're already getting off a little bit. But if you got a root of bitterness, you're talking to people who can't fix the problem. And you are raping them. That's what it means. If you have a root of bitterness, you defile them. Hebrews. Defile is the word for rape. You are giving an innocent person your seeds of bitterness. And it chokes out the word of God. Come on, we're not going to be bitter about anything. I'm going to pull that sucker up by the root. As soon as it happened, you have grace. You have grace to forgive them. But you give that bitterness to somebody else, they don't have the same grace because it was never their offense. But you help them get offended at somebody. Everybody likes, if I'm going to be mad and pouty and everything's not well, I want to bring mad and pouty people along with me. So I got to get everybody on my side. No, listen to me. If there's a really genuine problem, if you take it to someone who can fix it, then there should be no bitterness in that. Amen. But if you're talking to people who can't do nothing about it, that's called gossip. And we're not into that, right? Hallelujah. Oh, this is a good review, right? We're not giving any place to the devil. And then he says this. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, we get into Christian living. What you and I should look like. This is for the grown-up folks. I got any grown-up folks here on Wednesday night? This is for the grown-up folks. If this is us, we're really going to try to act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, and to be a witness, to be a light. He said, let him that steals, steal no more. But let him labor? You mean everybody's supposed to work? Yeah, listen, y'all. You have not been redeemed from the curse of the fall. When Adam and Eve fell, there hereafter forever, guess what's going to happen? You're going to work. You're going to work. And the Bible clearly says if you don't work, you don't get to eat. Hallelujah. Why can you work? Well, you don't have to do it in your own strength. You have grace. Make it part of your service. Do everything you do unto the Lord. Be the best engineer unto the Lord. Be the best redstone employee unto the Lord. Be the best teacher unto the Lord. Be the best chef unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be the best. Hallelujah. What? But you're going to work. That he's good. Now listen to me. Even when you're retired, you should still work or serve the Lord. Amen. Then here we go. Are you ready for tonight? It's going to be fun. We're going to go deep. Here we go. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 29. We're going to look at that in the Amplified Classic, please. Let no foul or polluting language. So no polluting language. What is polluting? Stinky. Nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as it is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. Now, I'm going to read some scripture, then I'm going to make some comments of some things that are in my heart. But listen, it's very important that you understand that words mean a lot to God. Your words. Now, I'll go here first. You know, a lot of times around here, you're going to hear us teach on what people call confession. It's how you got born again. You said something. I've done series on it. We teach about faith here. How many know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? But faith is released by saying. Faith is activated by doing. So confession is a huge part of it. You know, a lot of times people like us, they call us the name it and claim it group, the blab it and grab it. But we're just the Jesus followers. Because Jesus is the one that said, if you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but you believe what you say, you will have what you say. Amen. Right? Who said it? Jesus said it. I didn't make this stuff up. No Hagin made it up. No Copeland made it up. Jesus said it. And he's the master and he's the head and he's right. And anybody who's against it is wrong and misunderstanding of some scripture. All right? But confession is important. It's how you got saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you got to confess. Amen. You got to say something. Jesus said this. He said, remember when Peter or the apostles were wondering, why do I got to forgive all these people all the time? And Peter said, it says the apostles were there, but one of them said something. It was Peter. One of them said, he said, well, Lord, increase our faith. I told you this Sunday morning, but I'm going to get to some stuff, but listen to me. The Lord didn't say, what a good prayer, Peter or apostle. That's not what he said. He didn't say, that's good of you to ask for more faith. Listen to me. Asking for more faith is a prayer that doesn't go anywhere. Lord, give me more faith. Not a prayer to pray. Y'all growing up ready? Amen. That's not a prayer to pray. It's not something he can answer. Lord, give me more faith. You may want more faith, but that's not a prayer he can answer. Did I lose 3/4 of you? It's not a prayer you can pray. The only way that faith comes is by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Right. He told you what to do. You can't ask God to do something that he told you to do. Right. He told you how to get it. Amen. So he didn't say, attaboy, Peter, way to ask for more faith. He said, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. That's right. And so I guess I'm getting a great, you know, this may be some things in my life right now, but the Lord is really messing is a good word. Because I'm seeing things, and he said to me, he told me, and I'm going to tell you again, he said, be careful when you preach all the time about growing faith. How many know we need to grow our faith? That's obvious. But if you're always growing your faith, you're never going to activate your faith. And Jesus told this apostle, this Peter maybe, he said to him, if you would say something, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say something. You'd say something. So we're talking about confession here. We're talking about words. The Lord puts such a high value. It seems as though he can do nothing until we use our faith, and we use our faith by activating our faith by saying something. When it comes to faith, if you really believe something, it's going to pop up out of your heart on a very regular basis. You're not going to have to force it out. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. I often say leak, because really what's in you, especially when you get squeezed, is what's going to come out of you. Amen. Amen. Confession is so very important. Words are so very important. The Bible says in the book of James that with your tongue, you can steer your whole life and your whole body. Words are important. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. This is not a doctrine of a certain group of people in the church. This is word. This is the way God set it up. You can't fight it. And so you have to get in with it, or either that, because remember, he also said to the book in Malachi, he talked about, he said, your words are stout against me. So words are either going to be faith-filled towards heaven, or they're going to be stout against God. But that's really where we look at. But part of this too, and I've really probably not ever taught really on this, but that's why it's good to go through a book of the Bible, because it forces you to look at all of it. And here he said, and besides this confession that is true and right, I want you to understand what you say amongst yourselves to one another also is a big deal to me, says God. So we ought not have no foul or polluting language, no evil words, or no worse. It's talk. So talk is among people, or talk can be within you, but it's talking. So that means it's among ourselves. So this, but only speech that is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. So it's talking about this way. So God, your words this way. We'll just, you know, the words between your spouse, the words between your children, the words between your coworkers, the words between your neighbors. the words between brothers and sisters in Christ in this room, but words between unbelievers you're going to see in just a minute. Your words are very powerful and important. And, you know, so these people who say, well, you know, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And, you know, just when they're believing for something, they try to get their confession straight. And I'm kind of more convinced than I ever have been that that's very hard to do if your mouth is full of pollution or evil and unwholesome words. And then on a dime, you want to turn it with saying something the Word of God says and expect God to be able to move. I want to show you some things. So y'all, are you good? You're ready for some grown-up stuff, right? Let's look at verse 31. Amplified Classic. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, and a bad temper. So you and I cannot be bitter, can't have any indignation and wrath. So no rage. No middle fingers, no bad temper. Well, it's just how, you know, my family's that way. No, you're in a new family and your family is not that way. That's my culture. That's my heritage. Your culture and heritage is now from heaven. And there's no excuses. Well, I just get mad like a volcano and blow up. That's right. That's a work of the flesh. Get it under control. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. So, and no resentment. So if you're mad at something happening, you're mad. That's resentment. That's anger and animosity. Listen to me. Everyone's not going to treat you perfect. That's right. Not even in church. That's right. Not even in this church. Because right. There are a bunch of, anytime you come or I come into a place, it makes it imperfect. That's right. And we're human beings. And I wish everybody would be perfect, but they're not. But you can't control what happens to you, but you and you alone can control what you respond to it and how you respond to it. You're the only one in control of your response. Just you. You're the only one that is in control of your Facebook posts. The devil didn't make you do it. I hope Flip got saved. Hallelujah. Some of you are old enough, you know who Flip is. Hallelujah. No anger, no animosity. Quarreling. There's no quarreling. Brawling, clamor, contention, and slander. No evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language. Be banished from you. What do we go? You're banished. You've been voted off the island. You have to go. All quarreling, all clamor, all contention, all slander, all evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language has been banished. No more malice, no spite, no ill will or a baseness of any kind. Ooh, let's keep going. And then let's see. Yeah, chapter 5, verse 4. Neither let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, nor foolish and sinful, silly and corrupt talk. No coarse jesting. Who's he writing to? He's writing to believers. He's writing to you and me. He's writing to the church of Ephesus. He's writing to a grown-up church who is doing well, but he's saying these things can't be among you. No coarse jesting, which are not fitting or becoming, but instead voice your thankfulness to God. And he's talking about conversing one to another, how we communicate one to another. Y'all still good? Verse 6. Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses. Praise the Lord. You know the Lord doesn't like excuses. Oh, I've given him plenty. I remember when I first started the church and he'd ask me to do something, and I remember giving him lists all the time of why that won't work. You know, I'm pretty smart, you know. And I see things, and I kind of know what we can and can't do. And so I remember when he would deal with me about doing something, I would tell him. And I remember one day, in a nice, irritated voice, it wasn't like a booming voice, but I'm just talking when God talks, it's on the inside. And he has asked me a question. And I've hence learned that when the Lord asks you the question, you really do not know the answer. Or he would not be asking you the question. At least that's how he deals with me. He said, Mark, do you know what an excuse is? So I was waiting for some really long explanation from the Lord, maybe in King James. And he says, an excuse is nothing more than an excuse. And then he said this really strong to me, stop it. It's like, he don't want to hear my excuses. whose fault it is and why this didn't work out, or how come and this won't work because, and no. Everybody say, no more excuses. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, no more excuses. And groundless arguments. Now, he's talking about for the sins that we're going to look at in just a little bit. But he's like, but when someone's in sin and they give you excuses of why they are that way. He calls it groundless arguments. Groundless. This is just an excuse. Praise the Lord. Is this helping you? It's helping me. Hallelujah. For through these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of rebellion and disobedience. Interesting. So let's look at this. Let's look at other places in the epistles. Remember what we're doing here. How many know confession is of the utmost importance? You really can't walk by faith if you don't understand confession. There's a confession unto faith where you speak the word of God and it comes out of your mouth and it goes in your ear gate and it gets in your heart. And then eventually it'll become a confession of faith, like when you were born again. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he was raised from the dead. You believe that in your heart. You said that with your mouth. That's called a confession of faith. And when you're believing for some things, you can tell if it's a confession unto or a confession of. They're both good, but you confess unto. But there has to come a day when you believe it in your heart and it's settled and it's a confession of faith. And then that's how God moves, and there's a corresponding action to that. There's the word of God, the words of God coming out of your mouth are powerful. But in the same vein, we don't often look at it, that our words among each other, to our spouse, to our children, to our family, within the church, how we communicate to everybody around us all the time, it's a bigger deal to God than maybe you and I think about. You mean God is listening to every word I say, not just the ones that I'm making a confession? I got my list and I'm making confessions? That's what I'm a-saying, because that's what he was a-saying. He said to the Old Testament believers, he said, your words are stout against me. It's in they were talking to each other how the tithe doesn't work. They were talking to each other about this is wrong and that is wrong. What is that? Your words are stout. Oh, we were just talking. Oh, that's one of the worst sayings you could ever have. I was just talking. No, it's not just talking. Words are powerful. Did I lose some of you? Well, you know, I didn't really mean it. You know, husbands and wife, when they fight, they say something mean and nasty. They get out their knives and stab. And then when the heat is off, they say, well, you know I didn't mean it. Sure you did, or you wouldn't have said it. That flew out of the abundance of your heart. Oh, Pastor Mark, that's not true. It flows out of especially if it happens regularly, that is in your heart. You need to fix your heart. Something's wrong with your heart. The cardia, the center of you, not your blood pumper, the soul, where your soul and your spirit are. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And the Lord looks at it. And it seems to me that we try to separate it in teaching, and we have, and I probably still will. But there's something about just changing our vocabulary even among ourselves. Well, you're going to make me all religious, Pastor Mark. You're going to make me religious. I have to watch my words. Well, just change your heart, and your words will follow your heart. And you won't have to watch them so much. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, this is helping me. Hallelujah. Not that I go off spouting things, but really there's an importance that I really, really maybe didn't. I know I've never taught on it like this, but the importance of it is really important. The importance of it is real important. Yeah, it really is. Colossians chapter 3, 8 and 9. Colossians 3, 8 and 9. King James. But now put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So these are talking about, I think all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Get that out of your mouth. Then verse 9. Lie not to one another. So not just lying to God. Not just lying to your boss, not just lying on your taxes, but don't even lie to one another. Don't stretch the truth with one another. There is no color code of lies. There is none. A lie is a lie. Praise the Lord. It's like color coding sins. Hallelujah. Anyway, lie not to one another. See that you have put off the old man. So the old man lies. Now listen, this will help you with people who are not born again. They have a nature of the devil. They're going to lie. They believe lies. But see, even you, when you hear something that, even not talking about the word, but there should be something in you that says, I should check that out if that's totally factual or not. Because the truth is, the word of God is the truth, but there should be truth about facts. And your heart should be connected with the truth so much that when you hear something that's a fact, a natural thing, that even your heart might go, don't know. My wife says this, and I love this. Trust people, but you should always verify. Right. Trust and verify. Hallelujah. But we're not going to lie to one another. Amen. Amen. We're not going to do it. Hallelujah. And then we're going to put on the new man, right? Then let's look at Colossians 4 and 6. It says, let your speech, so talking to one another, be always with grace. We looked at this Sunday morning, seasoned with salt. Everybody say, my speech is full of grace and it's salty. What does that mean? That means there's some flavor about you. You carry some weight in God. When you talk, people are like, something up with that. That's salty. That's good. I want to know more about that. That you know, it says, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So even if an unbeliever, listen to me, an unbeliever asks you questions about who you are or the God you serve, you should be seasoned with salt and your speech will have grace in it. In other words, if you work on your heart and you work on your words, when someone even opposes God or opposes you, you will have an answer. You can open your mouth and he'll fill it, and it'll be salty and it'll be full of grace, and you'll be helpful not only to a brother or sister, but even to those that are away from God who are not even born again. We have to get to a place where we are believing God that our words are powerful. Our words are powerful when we talk, when we're making a confession, because we believe it and we're speaking the word of God. But also our words can be powerful when we're conversing among ourselves, when we're conversing with an unbeliever. But the deal is this, it has to do with your heart, and it has to do with you believing that you're full of grace and salt. Amen. James 3:10. Just wanted to bring some other epistles in because this is a lot of places. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, that ought not be. That ought not be. So you can't be speaking. Have you ever said that you're talking out of both sides of your mouth? You ought not have two sides to your mouth. Right? You're talking out of both sides. If it's the truth, you talk the truth. You don't exaggerate. You say what it is. You tell the facts. You say what it is. And listen to me. If you weren't there, if you didn't hear it personally, you don't know. If you weren't there, don't be acting like you was in the middle of it. You read it somewhere, and they weren't even there. You listen, y'all, we need to grow up and quit becoming Polly parrots to everybody. The only thing you've got real confidence in is this. Pastor Mark, you want us to be skeptical? I wish a lot more people I knew was a little more skeptical of what people are saying. This is the truth. This is the truth. Facts are subject to change, and you got to be careful. And listen to me. So when we talk, we don't speak out of both sides of our mouth. The story's not always changing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. I know you don't do this now, but when you were little, did you ever tell a lie to get out of trouble? And then you had to work on the lie a little more. And then you had to work on it a little more. And then you forgot what you told them the first time, what the lie really was. And lie, you know, have you ever been with somebody and they'll be like, oh, I'll just be so glad when I get home. I can just relax and be myself. Well, who is you now? What do you mean? We're getting a fake you right now, and the real you comes out at home at night? What an awful way to live. I'm one way at work, I'm in another way at home. You know, you go to an office party and everyone, you know, you're with your spouse or your friends or somebody, and they're like, wow, they're the kindest, sweetest, lovable person. And then the other person goes like, you talking about them? You know, the greatest thing as a pastor is never having to lie at somebody's funeral. Just tell the whole truth, and they were good. Because sometimes you go overboard, and people are like, who are you talking about? Yeah, is that the person I knew? What does that have to do with it? Well, you're just the same. You're not, one time you're not praising God, and the next time you're cursing. You're not blessing and being, you know, whatever, and then at home you're angry and hard to live with. What is this? This is just really growing up. But it's interesting that the Lord cares. Well, it's not interesting. He cares. Because it has to do with this. Are we ready for this? No, we got one more. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, everyone be of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Not posting bad things on Facebook for posting bad things on Facebook. Not retaliating, but contrawise blessing. I don't know how Facebook works, I'm on it. But contrawise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. Anybody want to see some good days? Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and that his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. This is talking about how you deal with people. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Is this interesting? You know, this has more to do, if you look, you know, pursue peace. You and I have the Prince of Peace on the inside of us. We should be of those who make peace. You shouldn't enjoy chaos. You shouldn't like everything always in an upheaval. At our house, we prefer no drama ever. And at this church, I prefer no drama. I do not like drama. God does not like drama. I don't ignore things. We fix things. But some people, they thrive in chaos. I thrive in peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Jesus talking about these things. And we use these... Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. He's talking about trees. If the tree's good, it produces good fruit. Tree's evil, produces evil fruit. Before that, he's talking about talking against the Holy Ghost. But 34, O generation of vipers, he's addressing the religious, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, verse 35, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgments. For verse 37, for with your word you'll either be justified or by your word you'll be condemned. Now, we always talk about this, and I do, and I think it's right, talk about it in your confession. But this is Jesus is talking about people talking to one another. He's talking about your normal everyday language. He's talking about how the importance of words are, but this is what he's saying, and this is the bottom line. And I've been saying it off and on, but I just want to make it clear, because Jesus said this. If you want to change your words, change your heart. Words are an indication of where you are in your heart. If you're offended of something, it will leak out. And then when it does leak out, even if you know, come on, how many of you know you're not supposed to be offended? How many of you know you're not supposed to be offended? How many of you know you're never supposed to take the offense? If you're offended, you took the offense. You responded wrongly. You responded wrong. Praise the Lord. You can't keep something coming at you, but you can keep how you respond to it. Now, it's hard sometimes. This is easy to talk about. But you got to work on this because we all, you know, we're all the persuasion. You do me wrong one time, okay, but you do me wrong the second time, then it's no. But the Lord said 70 times 7. I think it's way too much. Way too much. Way too much. But he said so. And so we have the grace to do it. Now, if we personally did something 490 times wrong to the Lord, how often is that?
Every 3 minutes.
So every 3 minutes, a person did something bad to you, the same thing, and they asked for forgiveness. You're supposed to forgive them. Woo! I understand, but we have grace for that, right? The Lord would do it, so we can do it. But what is the point? Forgiveness. You can tell by the leakage of your mouth where your heart is. That's true for faith, but it's also true with other things that are going on. And this is an important one, self-talk. Come on, y'all know what that is? You say things to yourself. I think you would be surprised if you moderate how much you say it to yourself. For me, mine was always very negative. I use negative to motivate, and it's not the way of God. I say bad things to myself to straighten me out, but it's not the way of the Lord. Because when you think he ought to get you, he's usually going to encourage you because he's a good father like that. But if you want to change what's leaking out your mouth, you can. It's a gauge. And it's not something if you do something wrong comes out of your mouth, you just fold your arms and quit and say, I can't do this. I'm offended. I got a root. I'm going to grow that root. Hallelujah. Whatever. No, you stop and you go, Lord, forgive me. Help me with my heart. I on purpose, I'm going to pull that root of bitterness out. I forgive them. I forgive them. I think the best of them. I think the best of them. Why? Because Jesus said your words that you talk among yourself are probably even a better indicator of where you are in your faith than your confessions of faith. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your normal daily talk will tell you, praise the Lord. Is this good? Are you all right? I'm telling you, because how many of you know you can on purpose, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Then get with somebody and say, oh, this thing that I'm believing God for, I don't know if it's ever going to, I don't understand. You know, and it hurts. Hallelujah, you know, and you just talk about it. And then, you know, how's your bursitis and arthritis? Well, the Arthur's really been bad, you know. I don't know. Let's pray again. I mean, but you said, but what is that? He said, well, Pastor Mark, that's reality. No, that's doubt. That's our talkings with one another. Just someone being loose with their mouth. Always, sometimes the biggest jokester in the room is also the most, they're most terrified of life. They're the most, they don't like themselves. I mean, they got to make everybody laugh so they don't have to look at themselves. Sometimes the loudest person in the room. Before you make fun of me, I'm going to give you something to make fun of me about. Our words and our actions tell us a lot about ourselves. But see, it's not just about, well, I'm going to quit that. I'm going to quit talking that way. You can't do it on your own. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth comes. That's what people do. Salvation is internal, and then it works out. You don't get to work out your own, meaning you get to choose it, but it works out. So you concentrate on putting the word in, putting who you are in Christ in, and it'll begin to change who you are, and then you'll notice what comes out of you. Now, when it comes out of you, you can fix it, even if you're talking to somebody. Now, you may not like to do this, but I've made it a practice of, you know, if I say something and I exaggerate a little bit, I'll go back to that person and say, I exaggerate about that. This is really what happened. Well, that's embarrassing. Yeah, it is, but it'll teach your heart. It'll teach your mouth not to spout off. Because if you make yourself go back and fix it, You lied about something to cover yourself. No, I know none of you have ever done that. To save embarrassment, you lied. Come on, I love it. I love it. Like I have people do this. They'll say, you know, be talking like, you remember when? And you know it's a big deal to them, and you should remember when, but you don't remember when. And so a lot of people would say, uh-huh. You know what I say? Nope, I don't remember it. I don't remember it that way. Well, that might make them mad, but I really don't remember it. So you can regale me with all the details, but I don't remember one of them. Hallelujah. You understand? So what is that? It's just you and I. You say, well, this is a minor thing. I think it's a major thing. I think it's a major thing. What we do with our words and our actions. I think it has a lot to do with how our faith's going to work. Matthew 15, 18. How many of you know our faith works? Our faith's supposed to work. And these things will help. Matthew 15, 17. Matthew 15, 17. Do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the belly? How many of you know your food goes in your belly? Right? Hallelujah. And it's cast out into the drought. Do you all understand that? That's King James. It goes in, it comes out. Hallelujah. Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of your mouth come forth out of your heart. And that's really what defiles a man. Natural food goes in your mouth, in your stomach, and out. But that things that proceed out of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, they came from your heart. And that's where you get defiled. It goes on to say in verse 19, I wasn't going to look at it, but for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, so he's really kind of jabbing at him. Y'all worry so much about the first church of the washing of the hands. And he said, what you ought to be worried about, what you ought to be concerned about is what's coming out your mouth. Because it tells me what's in your heart. So listen, there's a warfare, a battle with our thought life, with what's in our heart. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Can you take one more? Luke 6. Well, that's good because I got about 10 more. Hallelujah. Luke 6. Oh, but it's time. Luke 6. This one you're very familiar with. 45. Again, it's talking about your tree, good fruits. Figs don't come from a bramble bush or whatever, thorns. A good man of a good treasure, its heart brings out that which is good. An evil man of the evil treasure, his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth does what? It speaks. It speaks. So Jesus dealt more with the heart than the words. The epistles, they're dealing with the words because you and I should have already dealt with the heart because we're born again. If you're reading the epistles, the Holy Ghost knows you're born again. You're part of the church, or you wouldn't be reading them, usually. So he's already thinking, you know what Jesus said about it, because he told you that. It's a heart issue. And when it leaks out your mouth, don't get all depressed and say, I'm never going to do this, but just stop and think, is that what I want? You can ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord to help you change your heart. Jesus even talked about the things that you think on, self-talk, those kind of things. It's really important.